This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
Praise the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you moms. And I'm just, my husband catches me by surprise and he says, "You're going to do Mother's Day teaching." Okay. You know, I always look at it this way. When the man of God asks you to do something, I look at him, yes, it's an honor. Why? Even the woman of God. Why? Because you're ministers of the gospel. And we have to know when Pastor Rich says we're ambassadors for Christ. You may not feel like an ambassador, but what does an ambassador do? They do the will that's called them to do. Amen? And so we have to learn to be that ambassador. In the women's gathering, I'm teaching some of the ladies to be strong women of God. We can't be walking around, "Woe is me." No, God called us to be raised up and be called strong women of God. And you say, "Well, why is that important?" My husband's in charge of the house. Yeah, my husband is in charge of the house. But I'm by his side, and I have to learn that to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. As a man of God in my home, I have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, that when God has called me as his wife and the first lady in his life, that I have to be sensitive to his feelings, his commitment, what God has led him to do as a husband, as a minister of the gospel. I have to be sensitive to those things. And sometimes we know as ladies, we're not always in agreement with our husbands. Sorry, men. But you know what? God made us women to be by their side, to hold their hands up. You know, when Moses' hands went down, he was frightened because of the ocean went down, and he thought his people were going to die. But because the men had held his hands up, that's how us ladies need to do with our husbands. Even though they get us a little upset, that's okay. "Lord, I still love him." And you know what? We pray for them. You know, it's just as they pray for us. He prays for me. I'm not always in the right. You know, when I first married him, there were some things I didn't like about him, and there were some things he didn't like about me. But see, you get to know each other. And as time went on and we lived with each other, we started to learn different things, his dislikes and his likes. So I had to change some of my ways, and he changed some of his ways. And that's okay, because that's where communication comes in. There were some, just to throw a little bit out, there was some clothing that I didn't like him wearing, some pair of jeans that I hated. And I used to tell him, "Oh, I don't like those jeans." Anyways, once we got married, those are out. And I bought him a new pair of jeans, nice pleated jeans. I like the loose jeans. So anyways, I bought him a nice pair of jeans. I bought him several jeans, you know. I like to give. I'm a giver. I'm sorry if y'all don't like me being a giver, but that's what God placed in me. Well, today I just want to bring out a few things. I'm not going to be long. I remember years ago I used to tell people I'm not long-winded, and my husband used to say, "Stop saying that. You have to learn to be long-winded so that you can grab the attention of people, so that you can just let the Holy Spirit flow through you." You know, I got a river of life flowing out of me. And so when you have the river of God flowing out of you, you're going to do it with excitement. You're going to do it with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I'm already getting warm up here. Is it me or is it the Holy Ghost? Honey, I need your help. Okay, I need your help here, hon. Just put that behind me. Just get behind me, hon. Because you have to pick that up a little bit. And I'm going to take this off and get a little comfortable. So, I'm feeling a little warm up here, so I need... Carlo, what'd you do to that fan? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, you guys. So I, thank you, hon. See how he helps me? Isn't that nice? Huh? Well, my husband used to say, "Don't say you're not long-winded because you're a pastor's wife, and you need to learn to bring things out with, extended meaning, extended preaching and teaching and whatever." I'm going to be coming out of the Word of God, but I also have this teacher's commentator. For those of you who don't care to go into different books and for helps, I want to tell you right now it is important, because even books that you read about parents, about mothers, how they brought up their children, that's a help. Because, see, I may have not been in that situation, but that's a help to me to know as a mother that those things can happen, okay? And as a mom, I want to thank the Lord that He gave my husband and I opportunity to be a parent. If I'm talking too loud, it's because I got a little water in my left ear, and I don't know. If I talk too loud, let me know. And I always thank the Lord, thank you, that you let me have that opportunity to be a parent. For those of you who don't know, my husband and I had a legal guardian of one of my nieces. Her name was Antoinette, and we had her at the age of 9, and my husband had her at the age of 10 and until she left. We had her for 7 years. We had to learn about the children. We had to learn about adolescence. We had to learn about the teenage years. They're not always easy for us, ladies, and it's not going to be easy. But you know what? God made us to be able to nurture them and teach them right from wrong. We could have spoiled her if we wanted to, like some people do when they have one child. They go to the extent, even grandmas, when their first grandchild, they say, "Oh, my first grandchild," and they go way out of the way to spoil them. And you know what? Spoiling them is okay once in a while, but don't overdo it. So today I just want to bring out a little bit about two things about coming out of the Book of Ruth. Everybody knows about the Book of Ruth. I'm going to just briefly break it down. Who hasn't read the Book of Ruth? Raise your hand if you haven't. Sister Tina, Sister Concenta. Okay. I'm just going to briefly give you information about it, and I'll go into a little bit in-depth meaning of it. Those of you know about Ruth, that she was married to the son of Naomi. Her son's name was Malone. And sad to say, in the story, Book of Ruth, that Naomi had two sons, and they were married to two Moabites. They were Moabites. They were a different race. And they were a race that worshipped idols, all kinds of idols. And so, but because of their belief in the Lord, they knew that. How many know that we can convert people? You can convert people as a believer in Christ. The Lord says, "Let your light shine that all men will see your good works." So you, being a light in the Lord, can convert a person. Why? How? By your walk, by your talk, by your actions. And moms, Naomi in the Book of Ruth was loyal to Ruth. She was a friend to Ruth, and she was very committed. And that's what us as moms need to be. We have to be loyal and committed and be a friend to our daughters and sons, because they look to you. You know, we carry that child in our womb for 9 months. And within those 9 months, I've learned in the spirit that if I would have got pregnant — I cannot get pregnant, but if I would have got pregnant, I would have been giving that child, as it was developing in my womb, teachings of the Word of God. Because it says it's good to speak to that child while they're in your womb. You're teaching them. And you know, when I watch movies and I look at the spiritual insight to it. Anybody ever see Superman? You remember when they sent him in some kind of meteorite, and the father had put some kind of tape recorder to teach him throughout all those years before that meteorite landed? Well, that's how I took it. I saw it in the spiritual realm, and I says, wow, that child is learning education through that, even though it's a movie. But you can do it also in the natural. You can speak to your child while they're in your womb. You can put some kind of teaching so that they are developing, because they are developing every day. as you feed them and you're nourishing yourself, even as you read the word and you can read it out loud, you're nourishing that baby as it's growing inside of you. And so in the book of Ruth, of course, you know, Ruth had, Naomi had two sons, and all three of them became widows because the husband died, Naomi's husband died, and the two sons died. So that made her son, her daughter-in-laws widows. So she told the daughter-in-laws, go back to your land, to your country, your homeland. And who was the one who followed her? Ruth. Ruth followed Naomi. Naomi was the mother-in-law. And Ruth followed her. And Ruth says, and Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, I think it is. Yeah. Could you get that, Carlo? Just put that up there quickly. I just gave them a few scriptures to put up there because I like to just flow with different things. And in that scripture, Ruth replies to her mother-in-law, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Was she converted or was she converted? She was converted. She came out of the Moabites' belief in worshiping idols, which is God, you know, God doesn't want us to worship idols. And so she came out of the Moabite belief and came into Christianity, came into the beliefs of believing Jehovah God. And so we have to learn that as mothers, even spiritual mothers, you know, we have spiritual mothers. Anybody know about spiritual mothers? They are ones that mentor others, that maybe a teenager or even an adult that's new in the Lord, and you know, they're looking for help. They want to know more about God. And they'll go to you and they'll say, sis, you know, I have this problem and I know in my spirit that God doesn't want me to do it, but could you help me? So they're going to come to you for advice, spiritual advice. And that's where you would become a spiritual mother. And in case for some of you who don't know, spiritual means of or having something to do with the spirit or soul. An outward and visible sign of an inward spiritual grace given unto us. Caring much for things of the spirit and soul. A minister is a spiritual leader. Now, we're all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all commissioned to go and do the will of the Lord. But back to Naomi, she was a mentor to Ruth, and Ruth looked to her for everything because she saw something different in Naomi. She saw friendship. Where if I had, you know, when we have friends, we say, oh, how you doing? Sister, how you doing? And you talk to her, and you confide in her, and you trust in her. And that's what Naomi was. She was one that you could trust and confide in, you know, as a friend. And so, also, she was very loyal to Ruth. And because of that, Ruth saw that in her. Ruth followed her. Everything Naomi told her to do, she did. You read that in chapter 3 of Ruth. Naomi had a plan for Ruth. And all that plan was all God's purpose. Where you know in the story that Ruth married Boaz. Boaz is one of the wealthiest men living at that time. And today, our time, one of the wealthiest people we can be with is Jesus Christ. He's our treasure. He's the wealthiest person. When I first came to the Lord, I says, Lord, I don't feel poor. I feel rich. Because God's word is rich. Every time I read the word of God, it was so rich to me. And then when I came across the treasures of your heart, this is my treasure. This is what I see, how I see myself wealthy, healthy, healthy, and wealthy. And you know, that's how sometimes when we read the word, we have to see ourselves that way. And sometimes ladies can't receive from a younger woman. And that's okay. I'm not going to get upset. You know what? Why? Because I can go to you if I need some advice. I can go to the older, you know, the Bible talks about the woman with the gray hair. I'm always hiding mine, so I don't know if you know, I got a few. But, you know, it's good to go to some woman with gray hair, and it's also good to go to the younger woman, too. Why? Because the younger woman are in tune with the younger generation. And we as older women need to know what's going out there in the world. And the only people who are going to inform us of that is the younger ones. I'm going to hang around with that younger teen. Why? Because she's going to let me know things that are going out that I need to know as an adult, as a woman of God, as a spiritual mom, and as a mom. So, back to Naomi. Her sons passed away, so you had three widows. Orpah was her other daughter-in-law. She went back to the Moabites, and she stayed in her homeland. Ruth, as you know, she followed Naomi. She continued on, and as you know, the rest of the story, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but Ruth landed up marrying Boaz because she was loyal and obedient to Naomi and committed. These are very important words, loyalty, friendship, and commitment. We need to be that way to each other as women of God. Why? Because, you know, there's going to be a time where we are going to be so loyal to the Lord, and people will get upset because they see such godliness in you. And there will be some people that will be excited for you because you're a godly woman. And so those people that are going to get jealous, you want to be there to help the person that is striving to get further and further in God. See, the Word of God says, deep, call it unto deep. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sit in the pew. I want to expand. I want to go forward. I want to keep learning and more about God. Like the Apostle Paul said, I press on. I'm pressing on to the prize of the high calling of God. He was called an apostle because he didn't stay in one place. He pressed on. And he traveled, he missioned, he went into the highways and the byways. He didn't stay still. He moved on and he pressed on. No matter what trials and tribulations he went through. He went through a lot of trials, and I'm sure you all know that. You read the Word of God. So we have to understand that even the men's examples in the Word of God, we women can be the same too. We can be bold as a lion, gentle as a lamb. That's what the Word says. Be bold as a lion and gentle as a lamb. Pastor Rich has us these 40 days to go and witness to somebody. I had a young man at my job, and I think I said praise the Lord or something. I blurt out certain things, God bless you or whatever, praise the Lord. And he says, oh, you're a Christian? I says, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. So do you pray to the Virgin Mary? I says, no. I says, I respect her, but I don't pray to her. I says, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. Oh, no. Well, he didn't want to hear it then. Just recently the other day, I had two young boys, and they teenagers, and they came in the store, and I was taking care of them. And they had these shirts on with the skull. You know, the skull? And I had the skull. And they both had the same shirts, and I says, do you know, what does that represent on your shirt? What does that skull represent? And they says, I don't know. And I says, well, why are you wearing it? Oh, I'm just wearing it because my friends wear it. I says, do you know what it represents? They says, no. I said, it represents death. When we die, what is going to be left? Our bones. Our skull. That's death. And so they looked at each other, and I don't know if they looked at me like I'm wacky, but that's okay. I don't care how people look at me. I've learned in my years as a Christian, people's looks are not going to bother me. Why? Because they can bring you down. They can bring your spirit down. They can try to put you down with words if you let them. And we have to learn as Christians to be strong in the Lord. Jesus took the hurt. Jesus took the persecution. Jesus took the whips and the lashes on the cross. And he says, as they persecute you, as they persecute me, he says, they will persecute you. Today, our sister Rosa says to me, oh, there was a play that she saw, and the guy memorized the whole book of Luke, right? The whole, Mark, was it Mark? Mark. The whole book of Mark. Can we do that? Yes, we can. All we have to do is study to show ourselves approved, as the Apostle Paul taught Timothy. Study to show ourselves approved, a right man dividing the word of truth. What's truth? The word of God. It's truth. Amen? Okay. There's lots of different terms of mothers. There's mother-in-law, there's grandmother, there's spiritual mother. I already explained to you about spiritual. Of or having something to do with the spirit or soul. An outward and visible sign of an inward spiritual grace given unto us, caring much for things of the spirit and soul. A minister is a spiritual leader. So if you know somebody that has spiritual gifts, God wants us to use those gifts. In Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4, I think I have that back there, Brother Carlo. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Then you will find favor and good and a good name in the sight of God and man. When you walk in faithfulness, God honors faithfulness. And ladies, we have to understand that, you know, when we have things going on in here, some of us don't want to participate for whatever reason. You feel, well, I got some duties at home. But, you know, we announce things here at church again and again and again. We put it on the calendars. We announce it every Wednesday, every Sunday. It's so you are aware of what is going on, so you to prepare yourself to do the will of the Lord in the house of God. So we as ladies, we need to rise up above things, circumstances that would stop us from going forward in God. Do you know that when you fellowship with one another, I'm going to get to know you, you're going to get to know me. If you don't want to know me, you don't have to sit by me. You can go sit with somebody else. But I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to know how spiritual you are in the Lord. I want to know how much you're reading in the Lord. I want to know you. And you know, we have once a month now, I get to know you. This past month we had Friend Day the same day. And a lot of you brought a lot of friends because we had a guest speaker. Praise the Lord. It was so good to see the man come out and share the word. I tried to understand some of what was translated in English, so I got some of the information. But, you know, we got to learn as women of God to take our places. Naomi, like I said, was loyal. She was very a friend to Ruth. And we have to learn to be that as a woman of God. We got to learn to take the baton and go forward. As the next person passes the baton to you, take it and go forward. These things going on during the day, when I was just starting in the Lord, there were some ladies that had Bible studies in the morning, and I used to get jealous because I wasn't able to attend. I had to work. And so I says, Lord, I need you. You know, we always got to go in our prayer closets. Lord, I really, make a way for me. I want to be with these ladies. There was Bible studies going on, fellowship, all kinds of good stuff. We had them in the evening too, but I wanted to be there in the morning because good things came forward about those meetings. Oh, every Wednesday they would come and they're talking about whatever. And you see the young lady that's starting to mentor these ladies. There was new ladies that came out to the Bible studies, and they would go to this one woman that was sharing and teaching the Bible, and she was mentoring them. She was a spiritual sister in the Lord. She was spiritually mentoring them. And we need to be that way. We need to be able to say, I want to help you. And sometimes we're not gifted that way, and that's okay, because each and every one of us, as a woman of God, we have our own giftings. And, you know, and as Naomi was Ruth's friend, in Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loveth at all times. If I want to call somebody up, and share some confidential things. It's just for me and you to know that. I don't want you to go blurt it out. So you know you can rely on that friend. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You're going to be there for me when I call you. You're going to say, yes, sis, I'll be home. give me your cell number, and if I have to step out, I'll give you a call, let you know where I'm at. Not that I want you to keep contact with me, but you know what friendship's all about, and that's what the Word of God says, Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times. I have a friend of mine that calls me a lot, and she's one that says, Pilar, there's not enough fellowship in the church. And I'm thinking, well, come to my church. I got a lot of fellowship there. Of course, that's when we were having a lot of fellowship, but I guess people got tired of the fellowship. So, you know, we need to rise up as women of God and know that the Lord is there and wants to strengthen us and give us hope and a future. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, for each and every one of us, I didn't come to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. Also, I'm really blessed with the scripture Brother Carlos Martinez brought out this morning on how we are to be with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Each one of those tells you something. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in pachi, peace. We're to walk in joy. Some of us, we need to smile more. You know, the Bible talks about a merry heart doing good like a medicine. There was a time my husband was away. He went away for the weekend, and I was home by myself. And I'm flicking the channels, and I came across the Three Stooges. I laughed so hard, and I said, thank you, Lord, I needed that. I laughed so hard. And you know, that's why the Bible says a merry heart doing good like a medicine. The Word of God knows what each and every one of us need. He knows. So we need to walk in faithfulness. We need to walk in truth. And we need to know that God is God in our life. We need to rise up as women of God and be there for each other. If you know that maybe Angela Clavelli's hurt in some way, call her up. Send her a card. Let her know, hey, I'm here, sis. Call me if you need me. Even if it's the men. I don't know if her husband liked it, but, you know, sometimes there's men that are that can be your friend, too. I brought my teacher's commentary because I read something that was very interesting. And it's called Family Factor. And it's about a person that his parents didn't really bring him up in the Lord and nurture him in God. But they knew the Lord. See, there's a difference. When you know God and walking in God. And then there's another story in there. There's two stories that are together. One is Ruth and one is Samson. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it and let you get something out of it. And it says, the portraits of Ruth and Samson in the days of the judges focused our attention on another important issue. In each setting, we gain fascinating insight into families. Ruth, brought up in a pagan home, turned from her upbringing to identify with Naomi. Remember I told you Naomi converted her? She was a Moabite, worshiping all kinds of idols, but God turned her around, and God used Naomi to turn that around. Naomi's people and Naomi's God. Samson, child of a godly home dedicated to the Lord, lived for himself. Even in his death, Samson's primary motive was selfish. Strengthen me, Samson prayed, and let me get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. You know the story about Samson? They blind him, and he broke the pillars down to the stones where it came down in the whole town there. Okay, and it goes on and says, what can we conclude from the record? First, environment alone does not determine us from either good or evil. Neither being members of a sinful society nor a pagan family fixes our future. Isn't that awesome? Who fixes our future? Jesus. I just gave you Jeremiah 29:11. There is an element of freedom and of individual responsibilities that must be accepted by each one of us. Remember, we have our own responsibilities. We cannot blame our parents for our choices. I have a young brother that used to blame my mom and dad for things that happened to him in his life. And he confided in me about it, and I told him, no, don't blame them. You know why, folks? I cannot see a person blaming the parent, because sometimes the parents have not gone through certain experience. Maybe they weren't saved. My parents did not know the Lord. They walked as Catholics. When I became a born-again Christian, they said, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. My family came at me, no, you can't do that. And I says, wait a minute. I was a Catholic all my life, and I didn't know who really Jesus Christ was in my life. I went to catechism, but they didn't emphasize that he died on the cross for my sins. And so, when I became a born-again Christian, that came alive to me. You know, Jesus says in John 10:10, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? And so we have to be careful sometimes of the traditions of our home. When you have your own choices, God gave us our own choices to choose if we want life or death. It says we cannot blame our parents for our choices. We cannot blame our friends. We cannot blame the moral state of the society in which we live. A bad environment may make it more difficult to choose the right, but the individual still remains responsible for his actions. In the same way, a godly environment is no guarantee that one will choose wisely. Did you hear that? In the same way, a godly environment is no guarantee that one will choose wisely. We can take no comfort in our parents' faith. We need to make our own commitment lest we too wander from God. Second, there seems to be an interplay in the air of the judges between three factors rather than just two. It's not just the influence of society virus that in individuals' freedom to choose. There is a family factor as well. Judges and Ruth shows us that even in a corrupted society, there were godly men and women and godly families. It also shows compellingly the fact that believers need to understand how to share their faith with the next generation. It also shows compellingly the fact that believers, that's you and I, need to understand how to share their faith with the next generation. Samson's parents, for all their personal piety, were not effective in sharing their faith with their son in any life-shaping way. Naomi, despite her unhappiness, communicated compellingly with her pagan daughter-in-law, Ruth. How can parents who own relationships with God may be strong, communicate effectively with their sons and daughters? The Old Testament, reinforced by the news, suggests these principles. And you can find this in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and it gives a verse 18. God's command to adults is to fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. This does not mean that a parent must be perfect. An ideal believer who never makes a mistake and never sins. Instead, it means that the parent's faith must mean more than Sunday expression, more than giving lip service to God and to His words. Knowing a great deal about the Bible is not stressed here. What is important is that the parent be a person who himself or herself responds to God's word. The parent needs to be building the message of God into his or her own heart and soul. God's revelation is to shape the attitude and values and behaviors of believers as well as our beliefs. So, you know, sometimes my mom, she brought me up as a Catholic. Did I continue going that direction? No. Why? Because God got a hold of my life. And he turned what was evil in my life to good. I wasn't a bad, real bad person when I was in the world, but still those things I did were not pleasing to God. So when I came to the Lord, I had asked God to forgive me of my sins. Because the things I was involved in and the things that I could have been involved in if I didn't come to the Lord, if God didn't open my eyes. I shared with a sister last Sunday I was talking to, reading about Ephesians chapter 6. I believe it started at verse 15 where it says, God enlightens your eyes. He opens your eyes to spiritual things. And we have to, as believers, want that in our lives. And you know, we got to desire more of God. We got to want to open ourselves to more spiritual realm, the things in the spiritual realm. A child can tell you things in the spirit more than an adult could. How do I know? I used to take care of the young juniors back in my old church, and I used to have a little sit-down session with them. We used to get in a circle, and I had some fun time with them. But we used to get in a circle, and I let them open and share some things. Wow, the things they shared. But they saw the spiritual things. They would say, I see something in my bathroom, which was not a good thing. It was something really evil. You know, sometimes we move into homes. Sometimes we move into apartments. You need to pray for that apartment. You need to pray for it. That home, the apartment, whatever. Why? Because you don't know what person lived in there. You may call me crazy, but every time I go into a restaurant, if you see me, I don't say it out loud, but I say, Lord, I sanctify this church. I mean, I sanctify this seat. I don't know who sat there. I don't know who sat in that seat. But if, I don't know if anybody ever noticed when I go out with them, I'll wipe that seat off. I sanctify this seat, Lord. Because I don't know who sat there. I'm not going to let that spirit jump on me. You know, spirits like to jump into people? Yeah, they do. So we have to be alert and know that the Lord is with us and wants to raise us women up as women of God. I like the women, the mothers to come up, the spiritual moms even, come on up. I want to pray for you. I got my leaders helping me, Brother Carlos and my husband, and Brother Frank, would you like to help, hon? We're going to pray for the moms today. Spiritual moms also. You know, spiritual moms are important. Why? Because they are helping that person, whether it's a new mom, whether it's a new a woman of God, even a young person, you could be a young boy or whatever, a teenager or an older person, they're helping them grow and being nurtured in the word of God.